Good morning, church. And as I always say, you can take these conversations next door in about 30 minutes or 40 minutes and continue them with a cup of coffee or a tea, whatever you prefer, or just a glass of water. A young boy was observed by a minister in church praying very fervently, but much to the preacher's surprise, he was also heard to say from time to time, "Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo." So the preacher approached the boy after he had apparently finished his prayer and said, "Son, I was very pleased to see you praying so devoutly, but tell me, why did you keep saying Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo?" The boy replied, "Well, you see, sir, I just finished taking my geography test in school, and I have been praying for the Lord to make Tokyo the capital of France." Sometimes we tend to be praying those sort of prayers. Sometimes we tend to be praying a little bit too down the line instead of being praying ahead of time. Or maybe he should have been praying before, but we get into these sort of things. This morning, I just wanted to touch on prayer in our lives. I've been really, this year again, I've been challenged with my own personal life. So whenever I preach, I'm preaching from my perspective, my place of vulnerability, my place of challenges. I am not saying because I've achieved it, but I'm talking here to challenge each other on the same aspect of it. And I was at the conference, New Zealand and beyond, and Pastor Tark is very, very big on prayer, and he goes hard at it. Every Thursday they have a prayer, and he really believes in it. And Tuesday, Wednesday, I was in Wellington for a conference called Movement Day, and there he was again preaching about and talking about prayer, the importance of prayer. And there are times when, as Christians, the longer we go, we tend to somehow put prayer on the back burner. But also, I have met someone this week, a couple who have been praying for our nation for the last 48 years. And I have the privilege of sitting with them, and I said to them later on, I said, "Hey, 48 years. And are you going to continue?" And somebody asked them and said, "Are you going to continue to pray?" They said, "God hasn't told us otherwise." So they said, "We're going to continue to pray." Maybe some of us may think, "Oh, 48 years, what has happened in our nation?" Yes, there are a lot of things that have happened. You and I do not know, but some of us may know that there was the Jesus movement that happened in the 70s. There was an amazing move of God in the nation, and there were things, there are revivals that have happened, maybe not in a big way that you have expected, but a lot of people have got saved. A lot of people have been sent to missions, and there was a church which was, the church that we're going to next Saturday, VCC, Victory Christian Center. That was a church, that was an Assemblies of God church, where in the 80s, early 80s, 83, 84, 85, their missions budget then was $1 million. They used to send $1 million out into missions. This was in the 80s, early 80s. And there was a lot of things that have happened. And what I'm trying to say this morning is we need to be people who pray. And maybe there are reasons that we do not pray. Is because you're disappointed, you're discouraged with things that haven't happened. And because of that, you've just given up on a few things. And maybe we do not pray regularly because we don't think it makes much of a difference. Maybe some of you think, "Oh, what's the point in praying? I don't feel that it's going to make any difference, so I'm just going to be quiet." Maybe unbelief keeps us from praying. Maybe indifference keeps us from praying. We just wait until an emergency comes and then we start to pray. When everything's going well, we're not worried about anything at all. We're just thankful. Not even thankful, we just say, "Hey, everything's going well, so, okay, Sarah, Sarah, let's keep going." And also, there are a lot of times we take these things for granted, but God really, if you read through the Bible, we see right through the Bible, people were called to pray. People were called to pray. And then, and also the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 that God knows the depths of our hearts and he knows everything, and that is, everything is naked, everything is clear. He knows everything. And maybe that scripture when you read, I think, oh, so when God knows everything, why do I need to pray? And also there's a scripture portion where it says that your Father knows even before you ask. So when my Father knows even before I ask, why should I ask? There are all these questions, but again, I don't know. But God says that you need to pray. That's it. And he says, ask and it shall be given. And also the Bible says in James, it says, you have not because you ask not. And he says the reason that you don't get is because you're asking things amiss. You're asking things which are not in line with God. And John chapter 14 talks about it, and he says, when you ask God, he will give you. He's more than willing to give you what you ask. But he says you and I need to ask according to the will of God. But in James it talks about it, and he says the reason that we don't get is because we are asking out of a lustful desire to possess things or to get things. And that's the reason things don't work out. But we need to align ourselves with God. And also this is a challenge for each one of us, including me, as I said in the beginning of the time of my sermon. If you look at your prayers, how many of your prayers are other than your needs? Just think about it. You don't have to answer to me. Just think about it. What's your prayer about? Your prayer is about protecting you, keeping you safe, providing provision, protection. What else? There are a lot of things, and they're all centered around our own life. But as this couple have been praying for 48 years, they've been praying for the nation. They were told 48 years back that they should pray for the nation of New Zealand. So they've been doing it. They've been going around the nation and they've been motivating people and they've been asking people to pray for the nation. And there's another couple that I've met. Their names are Colin and Grace. They've been doing it for 30, 40 years, going across the nation. Now they called it city by city. They went from city to city and motivated the pastors, brought the churches together and asked them to pray, because the Bible says where there is unity, God commands a blessing. So they were expecting a blessing of God so that when we come together. So this was happening on a regular basis. We need to pray. The Bible says that we need to pray all the time. It does say pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17 says pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean that we don't stop. No, it doesn't mean that we don't stop, but it says we need to be consistently aware of the presence of God in our lives. Praying is not just asking. Prayer is actually having a communication with God. You might be driving, you might be working, you might be doing your own things, but you're being aware of the presence of God in and around your life. That is what it is. Many times we think prayer is just about asking God. When I say let's pray, or when you say let us pray, you're saying, God, as I'm going out, protect me. Or when you say let us pray before we eat, we're saying, God, thank you for the provision, or provide for those people that do not have food. I think that's a dumb prayer. Anyway, I'll give you a reason later on. All the time, we need to pray without ceasing. And it says regularly, make it a habit of praying. We are creatures of habit. You know that? You are creatures of habit. You have your own little routines that you do. In 1986, there's some jokes about technology and stuff. In 1986, they did a research. People have these weird things of doing research. So they researched and they asked people, what is the first thing that you do when you wake up? That's what they asked in 1986. And about 90-odd% said they pee. They go to the toilet. And then again in 2016, they did another research. The same sort of a question was asked. What do you do the first thing in the morning? You know what? 90-something person said they look at their phone. I know. I'm a part of that too. I'm a part of that statistics. But the thing is, we're creatures of habit. We create these little habits that we have and we stick with them. There are patterns that we do, and it is always good to have a pattern of your own. Jesus had set up a pattern for himself, and he set a pattern for us too. Could be not really a pattern. He would go early in the morning when nobody's woken up. He would go and pray on the mountain or in a secluded place, and he would pray. And then also the Bible clearly says in a lot of different occasions where he says, when he has been with the crowd, he would get away from the crowd and he would go away by himself and spend some time in prayer. And he said, I would not say anything that my Father doesn't say, and I would not do anything that my Father hasn't told me. And that's how it is. He was the Son of God, but he has set a platform and a pattern for us where he is saying, hey, I don't do anything without God telling me what to do, or without my Father telling me what to do or what not to do. And also, as Son of God, he had a lot of communication, and we do too. But the thing is, even with all of that communication, he spent a lot of time in prayer on by himself. And also, there were occasions when you know that he has taken his disciples with him and said, hey, please wait with me and pray with me as I go further away. And he came back and all the guys were sleeping. And I was thinking about it, and I say, if there's anybody who's got a problem with sleeping, I've got a solution for you. I'm not going to pray for you, but you start praying. I'll bet you'll fall asleep in 5 minutes. If you have problem with sleeping, if anyone has a problem with sleeping, instead of going onto the phone, start praying. Somebody said you start counting sheep. 1, 2, 3, 4, and finally you'll sleep. But I'll bet you. Because how many times that you sit yourself to pray and something happens when you sit yourself up to pray. And you're saying, this morning I'm going to wake up. Tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock and I'm going to start praying. And something happens that night that you can't sleep. And somehow you wake up at 5 o'clock, the alarm goes, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's already 5 o'clock. I don't feel like God is gracious. God is good. He is forgiving. Yes, he is all of that. And you snooze, snooze, snooze. And by the time you look at your watch, it is 7 o'clock in the morning. And then suddenly you know that you got to run. You got to run, and you're saying, okay, God, you know you're merciful, you're gracious. As I'm going, I'm going to pray, and you know you will listen to me. Yes, he does. But you missed a pattern. You missed something. You missed a word on giving to God or to yourself. To yourself. And saying, I'm going to do this, but then you don't do it. I don't do it. And we get into these patterns, so we need to be people who pray all the time. We need to be people who pray regularly, not when there is a need. Like not when there is a need of praying for Tokyo. When the test is gone, it's too late. Tokyo is never going to become the capital of France. There are some prayers we are praying like that, and they're not going to happen because it's too late. But the thing is, we need to be people who pray all the time. We pray regularly. We pray consistently. Don't just give up. There are times when we give up. I'm always intrigued by the story of the walls of Jericho, when God told them to go around the walls of Jericho 7 days, the first 6 days, every day once around it. Don't talk anything on the seventh day, seven times. And I'm thinking, man, till the sixth round they were going, there was nothing happening. And if they left that and said, oh my goodness, we have done this all this time, seventh day, sixth time, and nothing's going. And if they walked out, we would not have that story. They would not, not just a story for us, they would not have seen the amazing miracle of God that was provided for them. They would not have seen it. But maybe there are times when I am giving up on the seventh round. Maybe you're giving up on the sixth or the fifth or the fourth or the first. Or maybe some of us are not even getting off our backside to even give it a go. So we need to be people who are consistent, who go after it. Who go after it. And the other thing that we need to do is we need to be persistent. Luke chapter 18 verses 1 to 8. This is about the widow who was going against this judge who was not given a time of the day to her, but she kept going and going and going and going and going, and finally the evil judge gives. And the point of the story is, the parable is, Jesus is saying, if an evil judge gives God, when you're consistent, when you're persistent, and when you go after things that God has laid on your heart, you're going to see some things happen in and through your life. And that's what it is. And that's the reason we need to be persistent. And another thing is we've got to be honest with God. As I said earlier, the Bible says He knows the insides of your heart, the insides of your being, what your thoughts are. You can't be pious before God. You can be pious to me. I can be very holy and pious to you. But with God, there is nothing hidden. I'm just open. There is no point. There is no trying to be pious with God and using thou, they, all these new Christiany and King James Version. You don't have to do that. You don't have to change your voice when you're praying. You don't have to do it. Have your own voice and pray and cry out. And somebody said, yeah, J. John was talking at the conference, and he said there was a point when him and his wife had this little boy of theirs, son of theirs, and they lost him in a mall. And he said, I did not care if I was proper. He's English. It was in England. He did not care if he was proper. He did not care if he was nice to people. He just started yelling out. He went to the help desk and he wanted to ask them to see if they can make an announcement. And the lady was trying to be proper. So he reached over the bench and he grabbed the microphone and he yelled out and he said, hey, there's a boy missing. I need to find this boy. If anybody finds, bring him to this place. There are times when we are trying to be proper. There are times when we are trying to tick all the boxes. But when there is desperation, we don't go through. We don't care what we wear. We don't care how we cry. And we don't care how honest we are with God. Maybe there needs to be a little bit of desperation that in each one of us. I love the way that Sunita prays. Sunita is very, very open, very straightforward. And she would actually tell God how she is feeling, exactly the way she is feeling. She's like, yeah, and she talks to herself. That's the point. That's the reason I know. Because she'll be in the room, or she'll be in the shower, or she thinks there's nobody there, and she'll suddenly be talking to herself, and she'll be telling God, I don't feel like doing this. And she'll go on. And so, but Jesus, she'll be talking like this. Jesus, I don't want to do this, Jesus. But please help me, Jesus. I don't want to go to school. She'll have these things. I don't want to do this. I don't want to, please. And it's just absolutely honest to God. That's how she does. And then there are times, this girl's very, very good. And there are times when we say, Jesus, I can't find these socks, Jesus. I need to find these socks. Please, can you help me? Or she say, oh, Jesus. You can hear this in the walk-in wardrobe. She'll be crying out and saying, oh, Jesus, I can't find this thing. I need this dress on. I need this. Where is it? Oh. And then suddenly after a couple of minutes, she'll come out. And I'll be like, where did you find it? And she honestly said, oh, as I was crying out, I was asking God. God said, just look behind this so-and-so thing. So I looked behind it, and there it was. That's a relationship. That's an absolute relationship. I'm not telling you the stories because she's my wife. I'm telling you because I know her stories because she's my wife. If you were living with me in the house, all right, and you do that, I will know. But these are things that I know. And this is who it is. I'm not just saying that you just need to build a relationship with God the way that you want to be, the way that you're wired to be. Each one of us are wired. We are created uniquely, intricately. So you are unique. So you create a pattern. You create a setting. You create your consistency. You create your persistence. You create your honesty and see how you're going to pray to God. That's how you need to do it. It's about you, and you don't have to be proper. You don't have to have the right words. If you know words and if you are asking for help, you need to do it. Maybe the other reason that we don't ask for help is because we are very proud people. Especially we Kiwis are very proud people. We don't want to ask anybody. I'll be all right, mate. I'm going to do it on my own. I don't need anybody's help. This is the culture that we are in. We want to do our own thing. But the thing is, the same thing in the natural, we take it into the supernatural too. So we're like, okay, oh God, don't worry about it. I'm going to sort this out. And suddenly it's Tokyo. But instead of that, we just start praying, crying out to God and say, God, I need some help. I need help. Maybe some of us, as Chris said, this is really awesome. Because when he heard that there was a need in the community, what he said was, he prayed, of course, but he thought to himself, I'm not going to mourn about the government. I'm not going to mourn about where the world is going. Jesus is coming soon. Yeah. I'm like, please don't. Don't say, oh, Jesus is coming soon. Yeah, Jesus is coming soon. But what about all those who do not know about Jesus? Wow. You're just excited that you're going. Well, what about the others? I like what Abraham did. Abraham was like, God, please don't destroy. If there are 50, it comes down to 5, and I'm like, please, please. Are we as Christians pleading with God to tarry? Are we saying, come, I want to go to heaven? I'm like, seriously, really? If there's somebody who's being persecuted immensely in a Muslim nation, if they cry out and say, God, please come, then that makes sense. But none of us in this nation can actually pray and say, Jesus, please come. This world is going to whatever. We don't have the right to pray that prayer at all. We need to be praying and say, God, you have kept me alive. What is the reason for keeping me alive in this nation? Look around. There's a lot of us who have come from other nations. Have you ever asked God and said, why did you bring us into this nation? Have you brought me into this nation just to have a good life? We could have a good life anywhere. Is that it? Is that the reason that God brought you into this nation just to have a good life? Oh, if that was the only reason, we missed the point. God has brought us, and if you're a believer, if you've got God as Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have a purpose and a plan, if you're here, it's not purpose and a plan to prosper you, not just to prosper you, to prosper wherever you are. We're so selfish people. We're like, please bless me, Lord, and no one else. Like, bless me, Lord. And everywhere it says God blessed us to be a blessing to people. He did not bless us to show off. He has blessed us to be a blessing around. If you're working in a place, if you are working there, don't say, God, please shift me from this place. You say, God, you put me in this place. So what are you going to do here? What changes are you going to bring into my workplace here? What changes are you going to bring into Massey? Maybe Massey or Henderson or West Auckland. Sometimes when you go into the whole Auckland thing, they talk about West as, oh, some really bad place. I say, West is the best. And people are saying, oh, my goodness, how do you guys live in West? I'm like, I live there because it's blessed. This is what it is. And I was given a report on Auckland. Oh, everybody outside of Auckland hates Auckland. And I got up and I said, I come from the best city in the world. And you can see her. And I said, yeah, I come from the best city in the world. You know why? And everybody was looking. And I said, because I live there. I said, because I live there, it is the best city in the world. That's how you and I need to deal with and say, hey, because I work in this place, this is the best company that I work, that is, in this business. If I'm in this place, this is because I am here. God has blessed me wherever you are foot. It's blessed. It's blessed. Are you walking in that boldness or you're like, oh my goodness, I don't want to go there. This is the path of the unrighteous. Yes, that's the reason you go through that. Because it is the path of the unrighteous, the righteous go. When the righteous go, what happens? The path of the unrighteous becomes righteous. If Jesus also thought, oh, if God thought, oh my goodness, this is a doomed world, I'm not going to send my son. Oh, the sin's going to affect him. Of course the sin's going to affect him. The whole point was that sin affected him so that you and I can live an unaffected life of sin. In boldness. So we need to be people who are thinking outside the box. Let us not be Christians of the last 20 years. Let us be Christians of the next 20 years. That's what I want to be thinking about. Lately I've been thinking about it and I'm thinking, okay, what does the church look like in the next 20 years? What is the church going to look like in the next 20 years? I'm excited. I want to see because I know where sin abounds, grace abounds. Where there's a standard of corruption and all this nonsense raises up, God just picks it another level. Instead of saying, oh my goodness, where is this New Zealand going? Let's say, wow, God, this is an opportunity for you and for us as a church and Christians to shine in this darkest of darkest places, because we're going to see a changed nation, a changed city, a changed community. And that is what we got to be looking at. Otherwise, we are always so small-minded. We're so heavenly-minded that we're no good on earth. You're no good on earth. You're always looking to be gone. Then go. So we need to be people who do that. And also, I've seen, you look at the Bible, as I said, it's all about praying. God asks people to pray, and then God comes through. There's all the prophets, everybody did that, and there God came through. But then I was also thinking of Paul. In every epistle that Paul has written, he says, he talks about praying, praying, praying. Paul gives thanks to God for the people that he is serving, or to the people that he has written the letters to. He's always saying thank you. Romans chapter 1, 8 to 10. It says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. He's saying, oh, my beloved Romans, I really love you guys. I'm so thankful that that God is your God. And he's saying, I pray, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all you, for all of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 4, it says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, man, I'm so pleased that you got a hold of God. I'm so excited about you. In Ephesians chapter 1, 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And he says, I thank my God. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with you. I'm sure Paul wasn't lying. And I'm sure that, and he says, I'm praying for you all the time. I'm sure Paul's not lying. And he's saying, oh, when he's writing this letter, we just do those things. When we send a text, we send a nice text. One Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2, verses 1, 2, 3, we give thanks to God always for all of you. And it goes on and on. And the next thing is Paul, a praise for wisdom and knowledge. He's saying in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And Colossians chapter 1, 9, it says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any one of you lack wisdom, ask of me and I will give it unto you. He says, I will give. He's not saying, oh, maybe I'll think about it. I'll take a ballot because there are quite a few of you asking. So I'll see which one gets. I'm going to go alphabetical order. No. He's saying, anyone lack wisdom? Is there anyone who's lacking wisdom this morning? Yeah, I thought so. There was me and Chris. We all lack wisdom. And this has been on my heart for the last few weeks. And it says, God, I'm saying, okay, God, in this current culture, in this current society, in the current problems that we have, how do we navigate with all of these things, the Israel Folau thing, the freedom of speech thing, the gender issues, all these issues that are coming. And when you, if you're a teacher or somebody who's working out there, you realize the educations are the way that the education system is going, the way that the medical system is going, the way that the depression tablets are given as lollies to everyone that goes there. With all of these things, you're thinking, oh my goodness, where are we going? In this climate, what do we do? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But in that moment, what we say is, God reminded me, and this is all a dummy. There's a verse you know, James chapter 1, verse 5. You know it. I knew it from a long time. It suddenly reminded me. And he said, oh my goodness, I'm going to read it. And it says, if anyone lacks wisdom. I'm like, oh my gosh, God, I lack wisdom. I have no idea what I'm doing as a pastor in this current culture, in this current society, in the current way things are going. I have no idea. I need your help. I need your help. So Paul's again praying to people and saying, hey, praying for the Ephesians and the Colossians and saying, hey, I'm going to pray for wisdom for you in the situation that you're in. And he says, prays for hope, he prays for peace and unity, he prays for the strength of spiritual power, he prays for faith in Christ, he prays for the growth in love, prays. See, there's a lot of verses in all this chapter where he says, I'm praying for this. And also he says there are times when he's asking for prayer. He's not the only one said, I'm the apostle, I'm going to pray for everyone, nobody prays for me. No. He's saying, I pray for you all, guys. And he's also saying, you need to pray for me because I am in chains. I'm in bondage. I'm in prison. But the amazing thing is, he's not asking them to pray so that he can get out of it. But what he's saying is, he's saying, while I'm in chains, can you please pray that I can share the gospel? He's saying, bail me out, God. He's saying, God, it's not about bailing me out, but he's saying that I need to, that you brought me in this place. You put me in the prison. There's some purpose for you to put me in this prison, so let's see that happen. Let's see that happen. There are times when we're praying so hard to get us out of situations, but in that situation, I want you to pray, and I want to pray for myself and say, God, you put me in this situation, so what's the point? Not just because you want to humble me. There are times when you're going through difficulty. Oh, God's taking you through it for humbling you. No. I'm like, yeah, of course he'll use that. But I'm saying, okay, what are the purposes there? I'm going through this pressure time. What is it? What do you want me to do, God? Paul prayed for righteousness and purity. Paul prayed for an overflowing of praise and thanksgiving. He says, hey, let us pray. Pray when you bring your supplications, come with thanksgiving. Do you have a song of thanksgiving in your heart? When you're driving to your workplace, oh my goodness, it is Monday. Oh my God, I wish it was Friday. Beginning of the week, you're like, oh my goodness, I wish it was a Friday. I wish it was a long weekend. Or do you have a song? You create a song, create a pattern, create a song. Could be the dumbest song, but it's your song. Nobody will hear it, but you'll hear it in your car. You sing your own song. There are times when I do some of these. No one knows it. I do these stupid sounds and stupid words that I create while I'm driving by myself. And I keep repeating these stupid things. And sometimes I stop and wonder and think, why am I doing it? That's me. I enjoy it. Because you don't hear it. You're missing on something. No, you're not missing on anything. So I do that. So create your own pattern. Create your own little thing. Create your own thing with God and say, God, I'm going to pray this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to chant this. It's up to you. It's up to you. You create some chants to yourself. Every football club on the planet has a chant of their own. And they do it. Come on, make a chant for yourself and say, God, yeah, this picks me up. Paul prayed for an overflowing of praise and thanks. He just said, God, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to thank you for what you've done in my life. Don't be so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. He says, worrying, in other words, worrying is actually saying, I don't trust you, God. This morning we sang that song and we're saying, hey, God, if my past can talk, my future is sorted. If I can look back, I can look forward because of where I've come from and where I'm going. I'm really thankful for you, God. We need to be people. Paul prayed for future ministry opportunities. Let us just widen our prayer a little bit from God. Please bless me. Bless my wife. Bless my children. My dog, us four, no more. Just us, oh God. Please just bless us. And instead of that, it says, hey, God, you blessed us so much. It's just ridiculous the way that you blessed us. I just ridiculous. Wherever you are, it's not comparative. Blessings are not comparative. Blessings are about you and God. You're saying, God, there are times yesterday we went to Teakwood and we were going there, driving back. And me and Sunita were talking about it and we said, oh my goodness, we have absolutely no clue how blessed we are. We absolutely have no idea how blessed we are. And I'm like, oh, we just need to thank God. It is not because of what we've done. It's not because of how faithful we were to God, but it is only because of his faithfulness towards us. Remember that and do it. It doesn't mean that we haven't had tough times. We've had tough times. But we're not going to focus on the tough times, but we're going to focus on the good times that God has given us and where we are. And we need to be people who intercede, pray on behalf of people. Don't just pray for yourself, but pray for people around you. Pray for your community. Pray for your church. Pray for people. Look around. Just look around. Please. Honestly, look around. Somebody, take a snapshot. Take a picture of someone in your mind and say, I'm going to pray for that person. I don't know him. I don't know her, but I'm going to pray for them. I know that picture. I know whose face that is, and I'm going to pray for them. Just do that. Intercede. Pray on behalf of people. J. John at the conference, what he said was he actually has made a list, him and his wife have made a list of about 25 to 30 people that they pray for salvation. This is just for salvation. They go on a walk whenever they can, and whenever they go on a walk, they actually made a list of these people, and they pray for their salvation, and they start praying. And the same thing for me too. I made a small list. It is not as big as John's, but this is a small list. But I started praying for these people. I have no idea, and I have no clue how God's going to draw them. But these guys are out there. But I'm saying, God, not my problem. What's your problem? I'm going to pray, and you're going to do it. But you're going to do it. But also another thing that I wanted to say is when you pray, you know what happens when you pray? There is always an action required of you. There's always an action required of you. If you pray for, that's what the example this morning is. When Chris heard of this terrible, terrible situation that happened in Railside Ave, he prayed and he said, oh my goodness, what's happening to my community? What's happening to this young kid? Lord, do something. And most likely God is like, you do something. You do something. And that's what it was when Jesus said, feed the 5,000. The disciples didn't say, oh, what do we do? I said, you do something. You find a solution. You find it. And the reason that he's asking is because we do have the capacity to find the solutions. But God is the one who breathes on it. When they found that little lunch, God breathed on it. And the same thing. Maybe you're praying for something and you're like, God, this is so big, but I don't know what to do. And God says, see what you can do, what's in your hand. And you suddenly say, oh God, this little thing, I've got $5. Oh, I've got this thing. And it says, okay, bring it in. I'm going to breathe on it. So whenever you pray for some situation or something or anything, there is an action that God requires of you. It could be an action of faith. It could be an action of giving. It could be an action of going somewhere. It could be an action of doing something. But He always wants you to step into what God has for you. Years ago in a church in Dallas, they were having trouble finding a teacher for a junior high boys class. The list of prospects had only one name, and when they told the guy who was hiring who it was, he said, you've got to be kidding. But I couldn't have been more wrong about this young man. He took the class and revolutionized it. So this guy is telling the story. I was so impressed. I invited him to my home for lunch and asked him the secret of his success. He pulled out a little black book. On each page, he had a small picture of one of the boys, and under the boys' names were comments like, having trouble in arithmetic, or comes to church against parents' wishes, or would like to be a missionary someday, but doesn't think he has for it. So he would write these notes. And I pray over those pages every day, he said, and I can hardly wait to come to church Sunday to see what God has been doing in their lives. Maybe wherever you are working, make a list of those people and start praying. There are most of the times we Christians, we are praying and say, God, take them out, take them out, take them out, take them out, take them out. Oh gosh, our prayers, and that's the reason God doesn't hear our prayers most of the times, because those are so lustful and selfish. So instead of saying, okay, God, I'm going to pray for them. If you need to take them out. That's not my thing. And I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to pray for the hardest of the hardest. And it is up to you to do what you want to do. George Miller, who's known for the greatest missionary who's prayed and seen amazing miracles in his life, he says, the less we read the Word of God, the less we desire to read it. He says, and the less we pray, the less we desire to pray. So in other words, he's saying, just start. Just start. Just start. Just start. Can we make a commitment to pray this morning? You don't need to make a commitment to me. I'm not asking you to make a commitment to church. I'm just asking you to make a commitment between you and God. Make your own patterns. Make your own plans. Plans that will prosper. Of course, they will prosper. Can we make a commitment to pray for one another? As I said, look around. Take a mental picture. Pray for that person. Pray for our leaders, our prime minister, our ministers. Maybe you have your own opinions about the government and the prime minister, but the Bible clearly says, hey, pray for them. Pray for them. So let's pray. Pray for our country. Pray for our family salvation. There are people, or maybe there are people in your life who are colleagues who do not know Christ. Just think about the eternity that they're going into without the knowledge of Christ and say, God, I need you to do something. I'm going to read this from James chapter 4. I've already quoted it, but I'm going to read from the message. This is from the King James, or the message, I'm not sure. Let's find out. James chapter 4, verses 1 onwards. Where do you think this is message? Where do you think all these appalling wars, quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourself. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know, you'd be asking for what you have no right to. Your spoiled children each wanted your own way. He's saying, ask God. And then also, this is from John chapter 14, verse 12. Sam preached on this a couple of weeks back. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So with that, let faith rise in our hearts. And let us not, when we go to pray, let us not have a plan on how that it should work out. You know, there are a lot of times when we pray, we have a plan of how this should unfold. And it doesn't unfold the way that it is. Let's stand to our feet and just let God speak to you. Just take a couple of moments. Say, God, enable me to pray. Out of those commitments, make a commitment to pray for the Henderson Workshop and for those kids and for those volunteers, for Chris and his family. And when you're praying, God may give an idea. God may say, give. God may say, go. God may say something. And then follow it with it. Let not your prayers be just about you. Bless me, bless me, bless me. Open this door. Bless my children, bless my family, give this, bless my business, bless my work. Yes, we do pray for all those sort of things, but I'm saying let it not be just those. But let our prayer be a lot wider than what it is. Let's pray for our community and say, God, give us a way on how we can reach our community. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Make a list if God is saying, make a list. Make a list of people. Make a list of situations. Don't be just a social media person who makes a comment on, on social media about some injustice and you think you have done your part. You haven't done anything. You have done nothing to it. You just added fuel to it. Instead of that, say, God, what do you want me to do? If there is something that you hate about what's going on in this time, that's something that you need to start praying about. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We give you all the glory and honor, O God. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, because you set a pattern for us, O God, from the beginning, O God. From the beginning, O God, you asked us to pray, and we obey, and we start to pray, O God. We give you all thanks and glory and praise this morning. We bless your name, O Jesus. We bless your name, O Jesus. We bless your name, O Jesus. Just open up your mouths and start thanking God for what you got, not about what you have, and just say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we can open up our mouths and let people hear you. Thank you for our nation, oh God. We thank you. We live in the most beautiful nation on the planet, oh God. We thank you for it, oh God. We thank you, God, for we know, Lord, we are not going to go hungry, oh God. We are not going to go hungry, oh God. We have a house, a roof on our heads, oh God. We got food in our bellies, oh God. We got a job, oh God. Our kids are studying. Oh, there's all these things. Oh, we really want to thank you, God. We just want to focus on your goodness this morning, oh God. We want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all your goodness, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We bring thanksgiving into your presence this morning, oh God. Lord, as a church, oh God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the building that you've given us, oh God. We thank you for the members that are here, oh God. We thank you for the influence that we've been in the city, oh God. We thank you for the continuation of our influence in the city, oh God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, our bills get paid, oh God. We thank you, God, that you are giving us vision, oh God, provision, oh God, and expanding us, oh God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory and honor, oh Jesus. We thank you for our young people, oh God. Lord, we pray that you'd bless those young people, oh God. Lord, those that are with us, oh God, I pray that you'd enlarge their hearts, oh God, that they'll be set, oh God, to be amazing men and women of God, oh God, who will change the society, oh God, in the days to come, oh God. That they're not just little kids, oh God, but they're kids who have huge potential, oh God, of changing this nation, oh God. We prophesy into their lives, oh God. We prophesy them to be politicians, oh God. We prophesy them to be CEOs, oh God. We prophesy them to be people of influence, oh God. Wherever they are, oh God, we thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Lord, I prophesy over every one of us that are here, oh God. And I pray, Lord, with the influence that you have given us, oh God, we will become amazing influences in this nation, oh God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father God, we are so thankful. We give you all the glory and honor. Honor, 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 God. You're worthy of praise, oh God. You're worthy of praise, oh God. You're worthy of all our praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I hope and pray, and I will continue to pray, that what God has... Maybe there are things that God has spoken to you this morning, that you'd get a hold of them and that you'd pursue them, go after them in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.